And here we go. We're back for another season of Snakes, Rats, and Goats. This is your co-host, Ryan Elder, and with me again, and as always, is...
Scotch... Oh, jeez, I hit the cue, but my voice, it just disappeared.
Yeah.
I was so proud of myself.
How many more ways can we get that wrong?
Well, we'll keep trying.
Yeah, every week.
Well, my name's Scott, and I am a fan of Survivor.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Yeah. That's all really you need now.
Yeah. No.
Welcome back, Ryan.
Yeah.
How was your last 4 months?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, busy, but definitely missing Survivor, Big Brother, although I love this season, is not filling any of the Survivor holes in my life.
No.
Unfortunately.
No.
But I'm excited for this next season.
Of Survivor, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, me too. I didn't miss it for the first month or so of the summer, and then started to creep back in, and the last few weeks I've sort of been super antsy for it to start.
I know. Well, all these great articles. There's so much good. There's so much good stuff being written about this cast before.
And, I can't even read it, though, because I feel like, A, it's hard to keep up with, but B, I feel like there's more being revealed than I want to know. Like, I've read a couple pregame interviews, and they've revealed, pregame alliances.
Yeah,
and
so we can decide right now. We should have talked about this off the air, but let's decide if we're going to talk about what we know about that stuff. Like, do we want to talk about the tribe divisions, or do we just want to talk about the contestants?
Well, tribe divisions has been anything officially released by CBS or publicity, I think, is fair game. You know, I'd rather not talk about the supposed pregame alliances because I felt like that was a little spoilery.
Yeah.
And even if they don't pan out, but I would be totally open to speaking about them once the game is underway and at some point saying, well, I read about this alliance and
it seems like they
did it, or it seems like they didn't stick to it at all.
All right. Well, then, so if it seems like we're being willfully obtuse, it's because we don't want to spoil anything about pre-game alliances.
I would have rather not been spoiled, and I blame one particular player who is one of my favorites, but which is why I read that person's interviews. Oh, wow, they're really just going for it.
Yeah, and as we know from previous All-Stars in quote seasons, pregame alliances tend to go out the window very quickly.
Do they, though?
I think they
always
do. I think they have traditionally.
Cochran and Dawn.
Well, okay. I think that season may be the exception that proves the rule. I know that there were a lot of pregame alliances before Heroes Villains that just didn't pan out.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm
wrong. I don't know about any of those. But I think it's natural that they're going to make alliances. Over the summer, I caught up with all of the Rob Has a Podcast campaign interviews, you know, when the players would come on hoping to be voted in. And they all, of course, swore that they would never do pregame alliances. And then you listen and then you read a few pregame interviews and I talked to this person, I talked to that person.
Yeah, there was some interesting pregaming with Cass saying, oh, I don't think Spencer and Tasha like me.
Right.
But Spencer and Tasha have said otherwise, and it's pretty interesting. There's a whole other world of the metagame of this season that we could get into, but I want to try to shy away from it a little bit just because it's potentially
spoiled.
Don't
be so shy. Yeah. Don't hide your light under a bushel.
It's potentially spoilery. That's why I want to.
Well, I'm very excited to be back for another season of our soon-to-be, no doubt, award-winning podcast. And
this is our second chance.
This is really our second chance to get it right. And we've already fallen off a cliff.
So,
And on that note, should we talk about...
Yeah, let's get into it.
About this, our show this season or the
let's get into that first.
So we're gonna be to our millions of dozens of loyal listeners, we're gonna be a bit more intermittent, at least in the first part of the season, to our great regret, but it's all my fault.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw you under the bus, Scott.
Go ahead. Throw away.
I'll just be sitting here twiddling my thumbs waiting for you to get done so we can do the podcast.
I've got two jobs right now, because that's how important and in demand I am in the world of show business.
Sick humble brag, yeah.
It wasn't a very humble brag. But I am. So that's taking up a ton of time. And then I would still be able to do this. But on top of that, then I have the two little ones, one of whom is very, very little. He's still what you would technically call a baby. And it seems
when last we spoke about Survivor...
Yes.
He was born like that day.
He had just been born. He was born the day after the finale of Worlds Apart.
There you go.
It's so sad that I can associate my child's birth with that. But we knew that we were going to be like inducing labor that day, the day after the finale, which was just a total coincidence. So, but so I knew that we should go to bed early, but of course...
So his name is Dan Foley Chernoff, right?
Exactly. I named him after the greatest survivor.
Already so forgotten.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. I'm ready to forget most of that crowd, although two of them we'll be seeing very soon. So between the children and the work commitments, I'm a little overextended. In fact, full disclosure, we're recording this at one, it's currently 1:02 a.m. on Saturday night.
Sunday morning, yes.
Slash Sunday morning. This is the time we found to record this. So please know that we're constantly thinking about Survivor and wanting to share our really brilliant insights with you. And we will as often as we can. But I think we'll be able to do a podcast for the season premiere. And then after that, it might get a little dicey for two or three weeks. I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll do what we can.
We just need to be up front with our...
Yes.
Our very loyal listeners.
All right. Well, we said that. They know what to
do.
Let's get into the Second Chance cast.
Let's do it. How excited are you? Did you watch the opening theme? They released the opening.
I did. It's beautiful.
Are they going to show it this year?
No, I hope. They're not.
No. Oh, they're not. Did they announce that?
I think Jeff already said that they want to make more show, so they're just going to make the main title and put it on the internet, but not actually use it on the show.
Well, I'm glad they at least make it for those of us who really love it.
Well, you need it so that you can do funky science experiments with who, like what place in the order the winner is, and find out who, what the trends are.
Or to make your own fan created season casts. Have you seen those on YouTube?
No.
People will make their own opening theme for a returning player season, which I guess we didn't need this one to do necessarily because they all already exist. But they'll chop up, like, they'll take, you know, a player from season one and a player from season 10 and, you know, keep the music and make it all flow like a real opening.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm nerdy enough to have A, watched a bunch of them, and B, I think it was about a year ago. It was like after season 28 that I like one late night, I made one, but I never posted.
You did?
I never posted.
That's
it.
Awesome.
It was like during or after Cagayan. How do you pronounce that? Cagayan. Which was to my mind, one of the best seasons ever. So I was really like in a fever pitch of Survivor obsession. And I just like got really into it one night, and I made a Heroes versus Villains 2 opening theme.
Nice. Well, I want to see that someday. But speaking of Kageyan...
Well, it wasn't worth posting, we'll put it that way.
Speaking of Kageyan, yes. This is 1/5 of Kageyan will be on this season.
Yeah.
But first I want to talk about... let's get into it. I want to talk about... because I got the order up here on the CBS site. Let's lead off with Abby Maria Gomez.
So we're just going
off. Or is it Gomes?
I don't know. I've heard both.
We're
going off the CBS.com site and going order of player that way to talk about.
Yeah, just so to have
there's
something.
There's no bias. Right. Not that it would matter if we're biased. We do determine the winner, but...
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm looking at her picture now in a very tassely bikini on the CBS.
I don't want to comment on how she's dressed, but
bikini,
I will say this.
It's like the entrance to Greg Brady's attic bedroom. But I'm sorry, you will say
no, it does. It does. You're right. I have to say, with regards to Amiria, this season, Philippines, was the first season I watched when I got back into Survivor.
I'm still like really disappointed in you for ever having a period when you were not into.
I know. I'm not as
ahead.
Cool as you.
that's a great interpretation.
So I wasn't a super fan yet. I didn't really understand what made a good game. You know, I hadn't even seen Sandra yet.
Wow.
That being said, I do remember Abby Maria quite well. Yeah. I remember hating her.
Right.
Now I would respect how entertaining she was.
Well, yeah, she
because
was
she's
totally
not
hateable.
Dan Foley hateable.
No, not like that. She was just like
she's
sort of
yeah, entitled.
Yeah, she was not somebody you'd want to live with on the beach, and
exactly.
I both, you know, disliked her and loved her as a character. I thought she was fantastic, and
yeah.
I've always thought she had to be brought back.
Yeah, I mean, she's a perfect villain to bring back, you know?
And Philippines was an amazing season.
It's a great season, yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, she was a perfect... In fact, when I made my...
she was one of your villains.
let me just tell you this about it. One of my rules was I didn't want anybody who was on Heroes versus Villains 1.
Sure.
It's an important project I was working on. And it was really, other than Abby Maria... It was really hard to like find women for the villains tribe between Abby, other than Abby Maria and Cass.
Yeah.
There's a real shortage of female villains who were interesting. Like there was Nayanka, but I don't want to see Nayanka.
Yeah.
Again.
I think you have at least a couple on One World, right? Wasn't, Alicia.
Yeah. Alicia was one, but I don't want to see her again either. I found her to be like,
yeah, she was pretty.
A really a distasteful person.
Well,
and
yeah. You can't bring back Nayanka. Yeah. Abby Maria was great.
And Nayanka, not beyond the fact that she quit, she like kicked away the leg of what did she do? She like pushed a woman with one leg over.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know...
That's not a villain of the game. That's just, like, a villain of life.
Right. Well, I mean, you got to bring enough back so that you have even men and women, right?
Right. So it was a struggle. I don't remember who I came up with, but I did come up with
I would say if Nayanka didn't quit, I would want to bring her back as a villain.
One of the reasons I never posted it, which I would have done under a completely fake name, by the way. I was so embarrassed.
So it actually may be out there, and you're just lying this whole time.
It's sitting on my computer. No, I would tell you at this point. But one of the reasons I didn't post it was because I was waiting for more female villains to add to the cast.
There you go, yeah.
The other challenge, by the way, was that some who would have been in this category, and by the way, feel free to never listen to this part of the podcast because
it's
no
too
relevance.
Late. They already have
no relevance to your life. But like Brenda had been already been brought back and had been turned into a hero.
Yeah.
Or Corinne had already been brought back. So it was hard to anyway.
Can you make Sophie a villain? Probably not, right?
I didn't. I was thinking of like you know, Jenna Maraska. I was just reaching anywhere I could.
Yeah. I think you can make Purple Kelly a villain because she quit.
Yeah, but do you want to see Purple Kelly again? And that brings us back to...
I just love the idea of Purple Kelly being a villain.
She is. She's like a blank canvas. You can make her whatever you want her to be, because who knows what her personality is, if she has one. But to bring it back to Second Chances, Abby Maria is a natural to bring back because she was a survivor villain, you know.
Yeah.
But she has spunk. She had personality.
She's got Greg Brady's curtains.
She was never being a villain to be a villain. It seemed like she was just sort of, you know, I didn't ever get the feeling that Abby Maria was consciously being nasty to people. She was just like, hey,
she's just
like,
totally unaware.
The whole thing with RC, when she made that like assumption about something with RC that was wrong, and she was just like, I will cut you. You are dead.
Yeah, she was great.
I'm really glad she's
back. I'm excited. I think
here again. Yeah. And the question is, how will she play? Does she have it in her to play differently?
I think
and
she
how will
can
she do. Will people trust her?
I think she can play just fine. I don't think she can live just fine, though.
Right.
You know, I think the issue with her can she keep her mouth shut? Can she go the direction that she needs to go with everyone else? I don't know. And I hope not, because it'll be more fun.
It'll be more fun to watch. But I'm in a weird way, I'm kind of rooting for her.
You know what I can see is production sort of going like, so Abby, why aren't you being the usual Abby we're used to? You know, if she doesn't do that.
Right.
I could see production being... That's so. Why they want her. That's the game they want her to bring.
Right, that's true.
And so do we. So,
well, you know, I don't know. I like when they come back and they're different.
Sure.
Like, that's interesting, too.
See, like, I like it
Jerry
when it's...
Jerry becoming sort of lovable and, you know...
JT losing all his tarnish or being fully tarnished. And
James, basically, by his third outing, being like, oh, why wasn't he on the villain's tribe, you know?
Yeah, right.
And I loved James in the beginning.
Oh, James was one of the greatest heroes
of all time until he actually was called a hero, and then he was awful.
Yeah, I feel bad for some. I don't feel bad, but I have a friend who's just gotten into Survivor, and he ended up watching Heroes Villains like the third season. He watched Samoa and then Heroes Villains. Those are the two that he started.
People do this.
I don't know, but I feel bad because he doesn't know how ridiculously awesome James was. And he texted me after he finally watched Token Chains, and he's like, oh my God, Coach 1.0 is the greatest. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like he watched Coach on Redemption Island before, or the one with Ozzy before he watched original Coach.
Right. I don't know. Why would you watch? I know it's pretty daunting to watch them all in order, but it really is like a continuing story. So, it's like a soap opera in a way.
I think you can start at six. I'm just saying,
arbitrary start.
Well, because six and seven are so good, but
they are so good.
One is great, two is great, and then. There's good ones in there. There's good things about three through five.
You know what I'd advise?
Start at the
if
beginning.
You're starting somebody, or pick a season that you think is great, but is not a returning player season, you know, so nothing is spoiled. Recommend that to your friend. Say you should really watch Amazon or whatever your favorite season is. It has no returning players. And if they really like it, then they should start back at one and watch it all the way through.
I actually recommend if it's someone who may not continue watching it after they watch one season, I recommend Pearl Islands because it's just so immediate. When you watch the first episode, you're like, holy shit. Rupert is stealing people's shoes. They're in the village. One of the best seasons. So fucking crazy. That pilot is so good. Or
yeah,
pilot.
It's
first
one of the best. It's one of the best. I agree.
Yeah, I think it's a good place to start. The only bad part about it is that it's not. It's in standard def, and it just doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. So the other one that I also recommend people to start with sometimes is Kageyan, because it's fucking amazing.
It is so amazing. But it's also like it's so next level that like
it is. I don't know. Yeah. You gotta there's all those immunity idols. Yeah, there's a lot to
it's like
play through there.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't hang with standard def, then
fair enough.
Then get out of my
all right. Well, speaking
get
of
off my TV.
Speaking of Pearl Islands,
wait, can I ask you how you think she's gonna do and then we'll move on?
I think she'll make the merge, but she'll be out at some point. After
she did pretty well her first time, like what, fifth place?
Yeah, she's obviously someone that everyone would love to take to the end if possible, but it just, can you deal with that person for that long?
Right. Okay, moving on.
Yes.
You said speaking of Pearl Islands.
Speaking of Pearl Islands, next up is Andrew Savage.
There he is.
Fell victim to the outcast twist.
Well, you know, in that way, like, he's one of the people who most deserves a second chance.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because I wasn't, like, a huge fan of his at the time, but there's no doubt that, like, that outcast twist, no doubt in my mind, is the worst twist they've ever had.
It's so funny because it is on what I consider the best season, too.
And it is one of the, it's not, I don't consider it the best season, but it's definitely one of the best seasons. And it took me years
to get
to, like,
over that
forget, to get over that. I would rate it, like, I would always in my mind be like, well, it would be a perfect 10 if it wasn't for the outcast. And finally, like, after all these years, I'm like, well, I guess it still somehow managed to be a perfect 10. But
yeah,
I
don't think that season is as good without the outcast twist. Lil being in the game was good for the game.
Well, I understand that, but we don't know how it would have played out.
That's a fair point, yeah.
But we could talk about that outcast twist all day, and I shouldn't.
Let's
right
talk
here,
about Andrew Savage.
But in, except that the person who got screwed from it, and the reason I say got screwed from it, it's truly a twist that nobody could have or should have seen coming.
Yeah.
So there's only a few people that I'd put in that category, like Silas in Africa, who I really didn't like, and at the time of watching, he got screwed by a twist that way, Michelle Yee, if you remember that debacle in Fiji. Andrew Savage, it's just like something came along for the game that had never been done before and shouldn't have been done because it was so unfair. And somebody was going to take the brunt of it.
It's so much more than just, it's so much more than just, we're doing a tribe shuffle and someone got screwed, It's so much more than that.
Yeah. And so he does deserve to be back.
And I was not a fan of his. He's just another one of these type of guys that Jeff calls by his last name that I'm not interested in. I don't connect with that. A lot of people do, and that's cool. But I just don't connect with players like this. I hope he shows me more than just alpha male, take charge, leader guy.
Right. But I wonder, what has he learned? I mean, I've listened to his interview with Rob Cesternino and before the game started, during the voting, and it sounded like he wanted it so badly, and he's been like watching the show consistently and constantly thinking about it. So
good. That's good.
For the last, what's like dozen years that it's been. So could he,
I was just thinking,
show us a different side of himself?
If they had called this Survivor Last Chance, we would have gotten some incredibly aggressive gameplay right out of the gate, don't you think?
Ooh, yeah, like, you'll never be cast again.
You got to make the most of it. That would be exciting.
That would be amazing. Except then, like, somebody would emerge as a great player and you'd never get to see them again.
Well, it's terrible if only the cast thought it was their last chance, but we knew it wasn't, that could be really exciting.
It, I'll say this, like, it's sort of like a really one of the exciting prospects of this season is that these people do have the opportunity to change their trajectory in the Survivor pantheon.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting that there's some people in this who most of the cast are people that we really, you know, were excited to see again. But most of them were not people that we'd think of in the top tier of players. But it's so exciting to think that somebody or more, maybe more than one person will emerge from this season a legend.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I love
That's
it.
Really exciting.
That is exciting, yeah.
Who's it going to be? I don't think it's going to be Savage. I don't know what I'm basing that on. I'm thrilled that he's back because I always find it fascinating when people come back after long absences. I find that really exciting, and I'm really excited. There's so many people here that have been on so long ago versus people who are just on. Like, I think it's awesome. And because it's been so long, even though during Pearl Islands I didn't really like him, now I love him. Now I'm like, oh, Savage is
I know,
back.
I guess.
Savage, so excited. He's great.
I would not have cared, but I do care. I'm excited to see him play. We'll see what he brings to the table.
He fits the theme perfectly, but I feel like I don't see him taking it all away.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win. He's the classic, like, kind of player, I think, that gets, like, immediately after the merge, gets taken out. You need him for the pre-merge.
Which is what happened.
Exactly. I think that could happen again. He could also be he's also the kind of player that challenge after a tribe swap, a challenge gets thrown to vote him out. So you have the numbers going into the merge.
Also, forget it's been about a dozen years. I know he says he's been training. He's very physical. He's probably in way better shape than you or I. But
yeah, I mean, he definitely
long between seasons with all of the people who are coming back, like Kelly and Andrew and Terry, who all were like challenge dominators. Will they be challenge dominators?
Yeah.
Again?
Oh my gosh, it's hard to imagine. We'll get to Terry, but it's hard to imagine Terry not just dominating again. But it has been so long.
It's been so long. I mean, when was season 12? That had to be. Yeah. At least 10 years ago?
It was 9 years ago, yeah.
Nine years and a half. Jeez. Yeah.
So maybe 10, yeah. All right, well, let's move on to the next person. Sierra Easton.
Oh, there she is.
Known for not drawing rocks.
Right.
No, she
did
draw
rocks. I thought
you
were going to say voting off her mother.
No, everyone says that. She did draw rocks. I wish I had been correct in what I said because it would have been more interesting, but...
Oh, right. Known for drawing rocks. Well, that's okay. We're getting back into it.
So Sierra gets a lot of hype because she voted out her mom, quote unquote. But she was just voting with the majority. Her mom was going...
I mean, that does indicate an entry level, and I don't mean that as a negative entry level. I mean entry level into the level of player who is smart.
Sure.
And good. Like... Yeah. She saw the writing on the wall. She knew her mom was going to go. It wasn't that she pulled a big move of voting out her mother. It's just that she said, look, I gotta survive. And so you know she at least has that capability.
Yeah.
And then toward the end of the game, she really started to figure it out. And
I think she doesn't get enough credit for going to Rocks. I'm a fan of going to Rocks. We've had this discussion before.
I'm not a fan of going to Rocks. However, in her case, I applauded her.
Yeah.
I was rooting for her all the way. And I'm not a fan of going to Rocks when it seems like really iffy and you don't really know what's going to happen. But the writing was really clearly on the wall in that situation with her. And I think she made... by far the right choice, and it was a really bold choice.
Yeah, I want to live in a universe where they win that rock draw.
I know.
It would have been so exciting. Although I think we might have our only double crown winner, or our first double crown winner in the CBS reality show Triple Crown. I think Hayden would have won that season. Pulled the rocks, and then the 20 winning would have been less exciting.
Interesting.
Yeah, Ian Terry talks about wanting to be the first Triple Crown winner.
He's not going to be.
I know.
I don't think there'll ever be a Triple
Crown. I love Ian, but no one will ever be a Triple Crown winner.
Ian Terry is from Big Brother, for those of you who don't watch that show. Yeah, I don't think there ever will be, but I guess Hayden could have made a go of it, and he still could if he comes back.
Yeah. Well, the here's the trick. You have to do Amazing Race last. And the reason is because it's hard to like get out threats on Amazing Race.
Mm.
So you have to like, you have to be like someone who isn't a threatening winner on Survivor or Big Brother, then play the other one and win that one, and then play Amazing Race because you won't be targeted as much.
Interesting.
This is Ian's thoughts, by the way.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that you had thought it through.
No, Ian thought it through.
He thought it through. Ian thought it through.
But I agree with him.
He's it sounds very logical. Well, what I loved about Ian was that he had a very logical plan for how to win Big Brother, and he followed it, and it actually worked.
Yeah, some people would really be upset that I would even talk about Ian with any sort of respect because they think Dan should have won that season, but we won't get into that.
Well, I love Dan. We won't get into that. I think that either of them would have been good winners that season.
We're already into it.
We're way too far.
All right, Sierra, let's talk about Sierra.
I would love to see Dan on Survivor.
Oh, that'd be great.
Sierra, now what's to be with her this season? I feel worried about her.
I feel worried too. She seems like an easy person to get rid of early and just say, hey, you know, she turned on her mom. How can I trust her?
Right. Especially the people like Keith, who have no idea who she is.
Oh, yeah,
and that's all.
Right.
He's heard that.
Yeah. Yeah, Keith.
Also, I mean, she was really awful in challenges.
Oh, was she? Well, that might help her.
Wasn't she?
That might help her.
But not in the team phase.
Yeah, early on, it's not going to help. But
in the early days.
These days, though, the thing is to get rid of the... These days, it's like the hot Survivor thing is to get rid of the challenge beasts.
Right.
You know?
But didn't... Wasn't she...
I don't remember her being...
I think she was.
I don't remember her being particularly bad. Like, not like, oh, we got to get rid of Sierra because she's bad. But maybe
I think she's just weak.
Yeah. Well, hopefully she's been bulking up.
I'm looking at her picture right now. She has slimmed down. She looks very attractive, but she does not look like she has bulked up in the least.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'm excited to see her again, though. Like,
yeah, just because I know she's like at least a level one or level two player. She's not level zero.
She's smart. She's, you know, one of the things with this cast, while there are a lot of people on it who really deserve to be back and I'm really excited to see again, not all of them, I'd say a minority of them were like strong strategic players. And I would put her in the category of being a semi-strong strategic player, and that she sort of got the hang of it toward the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, you can make a case, devil's advocate, I can make the case that she didn't see the writing on the wall soon enough. She stayed with Tyson and
absolutely
too long.
That's all true. That's why I say she kind of figured it out at the end, but it was too late.
If the cynical part of me says, oh, she voted out her mom because it would make good TV...
I don't think that's why she did it.
Well, I think she for the first reason she did it is because she didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
The second reason might be she said, oh, this is going to be good TV. Let me just play this up a bunch and maybe I'll get to come back because I'm the one who voted out my mom.
Maybe, but I didn't get the sense of that.
That would have been in my head if I
were. In your head. I think that might be true of some people, but like, It, I don't know. I don't know if you're thinking at the time, like, this'll be the thing that gets me back on the show.
Yeah.
I'll vote out my mother. Like, I think you might be more worried about what is the world, what are all the viewers going to think of me? They're going to hate me.
Yeah. If, well, aren't those part and parcel, though? I mean, like,
I guess you're crafting
this image of yourself, and it is about what people think about you. All right. Well, how far do you think Sierra is going to go? Did we talk about that? Yeah, we did. I said,
I'm worried about her.
I'm worried about her too. I think she's too easy of an early target.
Yeah. I hope she makes it far. I hope she wins, but I don't think she'll get close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, we're
basing this on nothing other than what just having watched them before.
Right. So we can talk about who she's on a tribe with if you want.
Sure, yeah.
So her starting tribe is Bayonne Tribe, and it's her, Sierra, Cass, Kimmy, Monica, Tasha, Steven. Oh, Keith, there's Keith saying, I don't know. She voted her. Joe, Jeremy, and Andrew Savage.
Well, what's in her favor is that I think Cass is a prime target as the first.
And I actually think that maybe Steven is too.
Steven's probably a big target. Yeah. So there may be bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah. She could
be able to slip through for a while.
I can also see her buddying with Jeremy, maybe similar to how Jeremy buddied up with Natalie. Mm-hmm. I kind of think of Sierra as a Natalie type. More so than the other women in the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see Jeremy and Sierra maybe forming a connection. But I think Jeremy might be a target too. Who knows?
I think a lot of them are targets.
They're all targets. The only person.
There's only like two who aren't
targets. And we'll get to our winner picks, but I have some I have some thoughts on that.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on.
I have done no preparation other than the last 15 years of my life, but I've not prepared anything specifically tonight, as is abundantly clear.
15 years is a long
time.
Okay,
the next person. Oh, yeah. I'm excited about this.
Yes, Big Jeff Varner.
Oh man, I think he's the one I'm most excited to see.
I'm really excited for Jeff. His pregame stuff was just crazy. He's like so high energy.
So high energy, so funny. And
he's
going to
hit the beach
him.
Running too.
I actually think he's got a decent shot.
I think he thinks it is Survivor Last Chance.
Yeah. I think for him, I think it is, unless he is the person who emerges as a legend. But I think it really is his last chance.
I want to say.
And he never thought it would come.
So you say you think he has a good shot, or you think
he's going to hit the beach running, and I think he is not going to be an early target. There's no reason to target him early. It's been forever since we saw him, and even though his depiction in Australia was sort of like as a troublemaker or even a potential villain, like I don't get the vibe of that from him anymore, and I don't think the people on the show are going to be thinking of him that way because it's been so long and he doesn't look the same anymore. He looks older. Mm-hmm. He's heavier. He's always smiling and laughing. I think people are going to love him. And I think he's got a strong chance. I mean, I don't know what I'm basing this on, but
all right,
just his pregame interviews that the RHAP interview and stuff. I'm really high on Jeff Varner.
I love Jeff Varner. I think he's going to be great TV, but I think he has zero chance of winning the game.
Zero.
I really do. He's playing too hard. The way that he was like, his interviews to me just seemed like he could not wait to get out there. And those kind of people go quick.
Because you think he'll go quick?
I think he'll go
quick.
Because
I'm not saying I think he'll win for sure, but I think he'll be on there a while.
I think he's either going to go quick or he's going to be in the final three.
What's the reason to get rid of him early? Like,
because he's playing so hard, people are going to look at him and go, this guy came to game. I can't have him around.
Is he on that tribe you just read, or is he on the other tribe?
No, he's on the other tribe.
Okay, so who's
the other tribe? Takeo is Jeff Varner, Spencer, Terry Dietz, Vetus, Wu, Shireen, PG, Kelly Wentworth, Kelly Wigglesworth, and Abby Maria. There are a lot of targets on this tribe.
A lot of targets. I think Spencer is a huge target.
I think
Wu is a target, and I think that...
I think Wu is... Everyone wants to take Wu to the end.
Because they think he'll do the same thing.
Yeah. Don't you think?
I guess.
I don't even think he would cite taking Tony to the end as a mistake. That's exactly the kind of person you want.
He knows it was a mistake.
Wow.
I've read interviews with him. He knows it was a mistake. He might make the same mistake again without realizing he's making a mistake. So it's a reasonable
assumption. Well, I'll say this. Yeah. Okay. So Jeff is on a tribe that has a lot of shields.
That's what
Shireen could just piss everyone off.
Oh, Shireen could be an early target.
PG is a bit of a troublemaker.
Yeah, she could accidentally. And I don't think she enters it as a target, PG, but I think that she could end up accidentally making herself a target.
Kelly Wigglesworth is a really safe first boot.
Really? You think so?
I think so, just because no one knows her. Like, she's not connected with these people. You know,
right. Like
there's a whole bunch of connections on this tribe. I'm like, I've got the red yarn going from person to person right here, right? But Wigglesworth has nobody.
Neither does Jeff.
True, but Jeff was pre-gaming so hard.
Right.
So,
I don't know. Okay, so that's what I'm saying, though, is I think on that tribe there are people who, as long as he performs decently around camp and in the challenges, like, I don't see the incentive to boot him off first. And then it's going to be up to the relationships he makes.
The incentive is he's not chill. He's not going to be chill about the game. Sometimes those people who are like always talking game when clearly no one else wants to, I think he could be one of those people, and people could be like, okay, this guy is playing way too hard. Let's get rid of him.
I hadn't thought of that. I don't know that he will be doing that.
He might not.
He's excited, but I feel like but if he's smart, and I think he's smart, he knows that he can't. He knows the difference between talking to the camera and doing interviews.
Yeah, I hope so, because he's really entertaining. I'd love to see him go far.
I remember how he instigated that fight between Kimmy and Alicia, and then he just, once it started, he just walked away.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, that fight is classic.
It's a classic. It contains one of the greatest quotes of all time, not just on Survivor, but of all time, which is, I will always wag my finger in your face. It's one of the greatest. That's
a classic.
One of the greatest things ever said. But he basically stirred that up and walked away. And I think that, and then, you know, just sort of smiled at the camera. And that's how I think of him.
Sure.
As a stealth operator who loves to let the camera and the viewers know what he's doing.
Well, for that reason, he'll be great TV.
And I'm really excited. I'm really.
Yeah.
I'm inordinately excited for Jeff Varner's return.
All right, let's move on. Next up is Jeremy Collins.
There he is. Look at his pose on the site. He's like getting ready to run a race.
He looks so good. Guy is ripped.
Oh, man. He's a perfect specimen.
So I go back and forth on whether I'm excited to see Jeremy play again. On the one hand, he's at least someone who seems to know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he was so whiny.
Well, I think he's one of the people, so far they've all been in this category, who absolutely deserves to come back. And
yeah, well, especially because one of his allies quit, and as a result, he was supposed to have the numbers, and then his ally quit, and he lost the numbers, just like that.
Yeah. Well, he did choose the wrong ally.
I really wish they were bringing Josh back to play with him, because those two would make a great, like, story.
Yeah, I'm surprised Josh wasn't a part of this.
Well, I think Josh is busy on Broadway.
Well, he is an important actor. Well, I'm happy to see Jeremy back. I thought he was a great character.
Okay, good.
As well, I thought he brought a lot to the show and was one of the highlights of an otherwise dismal pre-merge season.
Yeah.
That's a season that I think really perked up after the merge.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those ones where the pre-merge actually makes a ton of sense once you know what happens after the merge. The way they edited both Josh and Jeremy to seem like winners was like such a neat rug pull when they both go 1-2 right after the merge. And it's like sets up this whole thing where it's like, oh, someone quitting just ruined the game. You know,
that's interesting.
And they both get their sort of winner's edit pre-merge. Jeremy gets a scene where he's like, you know, he's got the majestic shot with the ocean behind him. And he's like, I'm going to win that $1 million, you know.
He was great. They were both great. They were the highlights of the that first that, half of the season was really bad.
Besides Rocker.
oof. All really bad. And then it really, once they hit the merge, it just took off.
Yeah,
and
I think
actually a great season the second half.
I think Jeremy thinks he's a very rational player, but I think he's incredibly emotional.
Yeah, he needs to keep those emotions in check.
So we'll see.
His fatal flaw, you know, when he came and confronted John Mish about the hidden idol, and he should have just kept quiet and bided his time and taken him out. But how do you think he'll do? Because he's another one I'm worried about. Like, I don't think he's long for the game.
Yeah, well, let's look at his tribe. I think he's going to be pretty necessary on his tribe. At least pre-merge, because they do have Joe. They have Savage, Jeremy, Joe, Keith, and Steven for the guys, and then Sierra, Cass, Kelly, or Kimmy Kappenberg, Monica, and Tasha, just for a reminder. And I think Jeremy's going to be the linchpin of them winning challenges if they want to win. It's like going to be him and Joe, I think, really, and maybe Tasha to a certain extent as well, because she was very good at challenges.
She was amazing.
And Keith was good at challenges, but not the kind of challenges that they use a lot in pre-merge.
Right, but he was decent. Like, Keith was decent on all of the.
Well, he's not going to hold them back.
He's not going to be one of the old people who, like, causes them to lose.
Yeah, I think that's going to be Cass and Kimmy from this tribe.
And
although Steven did train the last couple months before he went out, I don't know that he was particularly physically fit.
Right. So, okay, so maybe that'll buy him some time.
It might buy him some time. It also might just be like, nope, he's the only, because he only has Keith from who he played with on the tribe. And there are other loners too, but.
Now, of course, I don't want to go into like, and we can cut this out if we want, spoilery rumors, but I'm sure you've heard more than me. But I don't think this tribe configuration is going to last very as long as it usually does.
Yeah,
we can
talk about that because that's in tons of the press. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it's in any official release, but there's a lot of rumors about that.
Yeah.
And maybe without spoiling specifically what I just think that they might mix this up a lot sooner than they usually do. And so it's hard to sort of to say
like,
Jeremy's place on the tribe, it may only last a very short time.
True. All right. Well, you know, I don't want to get into that too much. Let's not factor in the tribe that much. And let's just talk about Jeremy as a player and how far do we think he'll make it? I want to say, I think he'll be a pre-merge cut.
That's the vibe I get, but
yeah, it's hard to say.
I don't know why. I don't know what I'm basing these vibes on.
I know. It's funny because in his season, he seemed like definitely a front runner, even in the pregame stuff. But
yeah, well, I think that's going to work against him.
Yeah,
I think people are going to go, "Oh, here's a guy who everybody loved and thought would win, and the viewers loved, and you know, everybody's rooting for him, and we better get rid of him."
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, the winner of All-Star seasons is an under the radar player, but that doesn't mean that that the final three will be all under the radar players. That has not been the case.
True.
It's usually the most under the radar player that goes to the end wins, but they're often up there with people who are very, very above the radar. Boston Rob, Russell.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Sherry.
Right.
Cochran was in there with Sherry.
Right. All right. Next person is Joe Anglum from Survivor Worlds Apart.
Remember him? I don't remember him. Actually.
Remember my winner pick? Should I pick him again?
Oh, he was your winner pick. You would be a fool to pick him this time. He is so
I've learned my lesson.
He's going to be so out of his depth this time. I mean, he's likable. He's really likable. He's really great at challenges.
He's a loyal soldier, too. I think once you get him on your side, you can count on him being on your side. And he showed that he plays a loyal game the season that he played. But you can't bring this guy to the merge.
No. And you can't. I mean, he's going to be a huge target. And
remember how good he was at everything? Puzzles, physical, everything. He killed that puzzle, that 3D puzzle in the first episode. He did it so fast. Production was like, this should take X minutes. And he did it like in a third of that or something crazy.
I think one of Mike Holloway's best moves was, targeting him early.
Yeah.
Was it Mike Holloway's, the one who spearheaded that? Now
I'm
second guessing myself, but like,
well, they went after Joaquin instead of him when they could have gone after him. Mike used Joe to get out Joaquin.
Okay. Well, all I know is that his getting booted out enabled Mike to go on his immunity run.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cause they would have gotten rid of Mike.
I don't think he would have, won every immunity if it wasn't if Joe was still there.
Definitely not. Definitely not. Joe would have won at least one of those. But I think it sounds like we both think he's not going to do well this time.
No, I think he's either pre-merge boot or like first after the merge. Yeah,
he is exactly the kind of guy that one tribe throws a challenge to get rid of.
Yeah. He's dangerous to let into the individual portion of the game.
Absolutely.
Because you might never have a chance to vote him off.
He's so well-liked and so physically and mentally gifted that I think you can't leave him around.
He's mentally gifted, but is he strategically gifted?
I don't think he's strategically gifted. See any evidence of that. His strategy is be nice to everyone, go with the flow, and provide, which he did and he was good at. He's exactly the kind of person that the producers will probably want to go far. Mm-hmm. But, he's Ozzy 3.0.
Right.
So.
And that model has never won.
Nope. Although it did get to the end.
They go far.
Almost, Malcolm got, third?
Fourth,
yeah.
When it was a final three and he was.
Yeah.
And which is exactly where Ozzy went out in South Pacific. And, of course, right. Ozzy made it to the end. Speaking of in Cook Islands, and speaking of, we could talk about this another time, but unfair twists. Like, I really love Ewell, and I think he deserved to win Cook Islands.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would have won. I think Ozzy would have won if the show had been a final two instead of a final three. And it was the first time they ever did a final three. So there was no way anybody could have planned strategically for a final three because nobody saw it coming.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I have a whole theory on this that I have devoted too much thought to.
Yeah. Let's talk about that another time.
But I'm pretty sure that Ozzy would have won under that scenario.
Interesting. All right, next up is Chaos Cass, one of my favorites. So happy to see her come back.
Well, of course she should come back and is a great player. And a, I mean, not a great player, a great character and a great villain.
I think she's a great player if she wants to get second place.
Well, yeah, okay. Great.
And all,
she's
to
a great
be honest,
player for second place or first boot.
I think she's great. To be honest, if she was a... This is an overplayed thing, but I really think if she was a dude and made the exact same moves, we'd call her like a Dan Giesling-esque strategist.
There's a way
to edit that season where Cass is like this amazing strategist and Spencer is like a whiny little baby.
Well, if she had won, that would have been what we'd seen. Oh, but the thing is, I just don't understand some of her moves. It's not about, I understand that, like, definitely there is a sexism that goes on, and like, yeah, there's a lot of players who are labeled villains who wouldn't be if they were men. But I really appreciate that she makes moves and she's playing and she's trying to be strategic, but I don't really understand or see the good sense in some of her moves.
No, the one that really I definitely don't see, and it seemed like it was just out of petty spite, was when she flips after the merge.
That's the main one that I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean that's really. But after that, I thought she played very well.
She played fine, but she also socially alienated herself, and that's not smart strategically.
No, you're right.
I mean, she was. I don't think she approached the game in a smart way.
Speaking of that, one of my favorite moments from these Josh Wigler articles, which I highly, highly, highly
recommend. I've read a couple of them. And they're great. They're fantastic.
All amazing. Amazingly well written. So just getting me so excited for the season. But one of the best moments is in his Cass one, where he talks about how she knows she has this perception that people are going to target her because she's not well-liked. She's a villain, blah, blah, blah. And she said, like, as a bit or whatever, she's been carrying around at Ponderosa before the game. She's been carrying around a copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, I've heard her talk about that.
Which
she talked about it in her Rob
It's so funny to me, like, this idea that she, like... Well, it's a little too late for that, first of all.
Oh, I know. I think they show her holding that in, like, publicity photos or something.
That's so good. So good. Very, very funny. She's such an entertaining player.
For the listeners, those are what, on Parade.com?
Yeah.
By Josh Wigler.
Parade magazine, yeah. So good. Definitely all of them are worth a read.
So how will Cass do? Because, I mean...
I think she'll highly likely to be voted out first.
She'll be so lucky to survive that first vote. I think nobody comes in with more negative sentiment against her. And it's not like they're voting her out because they think she's a target to win. I think that they would vote her out because they have seen her play, and not just that they think she's a villain, but because some of her moves make no sense. And she was shown to flip on her alliance for a reason that seemed to make no sense.
Yeah.
So it's, and maybe there was, she had a really good reason and it was edited in such a way that it, you know, so I buy that. But everybody who wasn't there, which is four-fifths of the cast, has never...
If she's not the first out, it's because they win immunity. But then I think, you know, she as soon as her tribe gets to vote, I think she's gone.
It's like Russell, his third time playing.
Right.
Where they were
we
just got to get rid of him.
Yeah. There's just nothing good can come from her being around.
Poor Cass.
Yeah. But
she seems like a perfectly nice person.
She's going to burn real bright while she's there, and I'm excited. So.
Oh, she should. I'm thrilled she's back.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one.
Wouldn't it be great if all of them prove us wrong?
Oh, I hope so. It's like the exact opposite of what we expect.
Yeah.
All right, next person, Keith Nail.
Oh, that there's somebody who will not be proving us wrong about anything.
I have a feeling he's going to prove me wrong, only because the odds are not in my favor, and that's because Keith Nail is my winner pick.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious, and here's why. Keith Nail has under the radar guy who gets taken to the end by the asshole strategist written all over him.
Well, he might have won last time. He came very close.
He did almost win last time. I think if he had made the end, he probably would have won.
Probably. I don't know if he would have won if Natalie was in the final four.
Keith
in the final
just
three.
Has... Look,
but he
not,
would have won against Missy and Jacqueline, or Missy and Baylor.
I think so. His weaknesses as a strategic player, and they are huge, right? Are made up for by his loyalty, which is awesome. Anyone can use that, especially someone who's not nice to other people.
True.
And his challenge prowess is actually an advantage for people because he is perceived to be so weak otherwise. He's
and
exactly
he's very likable.
Yeah, exactly the kind of player that is so underestimated, but is also really likable that when they make it to the end, they can just win. Sort of
I see you what you're saying on a cerebral level, but I just don't feel it.
Is this season a failure if Keith is the winner?
No, absolutely not. It depends on how he gets there, but it doesn't. I can see him being used by other people and discarded.
It's definitely
possible.
And
even if he makes it to the end, he would only win, I would think, if
the jury's bitter.
Jury's super bitter.
The jury has been notoriously bitter on All-Star seasons.
That's true.
It always is. So
because they all come back thinking this is their time.
Exactly. So if Keith gets to the end, he's going to get there having offended no one. And people are going to say, okay, I don't like anyone but Keith. I like Keith. He's maybe not like a quote unquote deserving winner, but he's so likable and the fans love him. I'm going to make him the winner.
It's so hard to picture happening. I don't know why, but I can't picture it. I love him as a character.
Yeah. The one thing is that I think it's possible that no one out there will underestimate him like I think they're going to. And in that case, he will be gone. But
well, they all did see him recently and they all know that he's, you know, popular.
But they also think he's an idiot.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe stick to the plan will make him make him someone no one wants to trust.
Right.
But
because he's loyal, but he might blow it otherwise.
But I also think people will be like, I think that some of those players will blame Reed and not Keith in that situation.
Sure, but what you know is, wow, you hate Reed.
No, I love Reed. Reed was my winner pick that season. I really wanted him to win, but I think he screwed up by not schooling Keith enough before that vote.
Right. Obviously.
Yeah.
However, I mean, it just seems that Keith, the liability is that he may be loyal to you, but he may do dumb things without realizing it.
Yeah. It's someone you have to keep on a very short leash.
The thing about like Jeremy's got the idol.
Oh
like,
yeah.
He does things. He doesn't realize he's alienating Jeremy by saying that.
Yeah. That's
he's just
point.
Like, I don't know. That's just my honest opinion.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm going to pick him because him and one other person have the makeup of an All-Stars season winner in my opinion.
You look great up out on that limb, and I'm not joining you on that one, but I wish you the best.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, who's next?
Same season, Kelly Wentworth.
Now she's somebody who to me has the traditional profile of an All-Stars winner.
I would agree with that.
I think she's, unless the show has evolved enough that having that profile is considered a major threat, which
that would be interesting.
I would love to see that development. Otherwise, I think, you know, she's a fairly obvious potential winner.
Yeah, we'll see, because it is possible that because, okay, based on what we've seen of her, she does have that under the radar vibe, right?
Right.
Easy to underestimate. On the other hand, based on what I actually know about her, she knows a shit ton about Survivor.
Right. That's why they voted her off.
Right. So
then, of course, having listened to her interviews while campaigning for the show, I realized she's got a whole lot more going on upstairs than we saw on the show.
So I don't know that she, having a second chance, I don't know that she'll be able to play the under the radar game that someone like her needs to use to get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that she'll want to play that game. I think she's probably got a lot of ideas about how to play the game and probably wants to show them off.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I agree though that, like, if you just watch the show, you know, you don't listen to interviews or look at anything outside of the show, I think that she does seem like the classic All-Stars winner.
The Amber.
Right. Although I think strategically she's like on a whole other level than Amber, but maybe the other players
seems
don't
that
know
way.
That. Maybe the other players don't know that.
They might not. They might learn it. I mean, I'm not necessarily predicting her, but it's all, you know, I predicted Amber back in the day. I'm not saying I'm brilliant, but I just made that logical leap to the real, to the what turned out to be the reason that she won, or one of the reasons that she won, and that she was, you know, somebody who was completely non-threatening.
Right.
And
well, back then, that was a good call because there hadn't been an All-Star season yet.
I was also being kind of cynical because I was like, who's the person who least deserves to be there? Amber, she'll probably win.
Yeah, fair enough.
And so there was some of that, but I also sort of knew, like, you know, nobody's going to perceive her as a threat. So that's the same with Kelly. I just hope that the show has evolved enough. And nothing against her. She seems delightful. I didn't, get any sense of her on San Juan del Sur. But in her interviews, I've gotten a great sense of her, and she seems fantastic. So I can see why they wanted to bring her back. I think she, at the very least, will, unless she rubs people the wrong way, will last a while because even if you know... Even if you're aware enough to say, like, well, she's sort of the traditional All-Stars winner, there's still so many bigger targets that you'd be like, well, but I could take her out. I could take her out later.
Yeah.
First, I got to get rid of all these strong men.
Yeah, I think if she ends up in the numbers, she's going to go incredibly far and could easily win.
Yes.
It's just like, will she end up in the numbers, you know?
Right. Exactly.
All right.
That we do not know.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Kelly's.
Oh, my goodness.
Kelly Wigglesworth.
Wow.
Deserves a second chance.
What a crazy swimsuit she's got on in this picture. Well, I mean, of course, it's unanimous that we're thrilled to see anybody from season one, especially Kelly.
All two of us think that. We're...
I'm so excited. Of course she should be back.
Yeah. I mean, the only sad part about her being on the show is that she subtly reminds us that Greg Bowie is not on the show.
I know. I really want him to come back.
And they wanted him too, supposedly. He just couldn't do it. He had just started a new job or something.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Big bummer.
And I didn't even think he would ever want to do it.
I know.
But apparently he did, which makes it all the more...
Maybe if Richard Hatch just keeps talking about how Greg was his biggest concern in season one, the only other person he thought could win, then maybe Greg will want to play again.
Okay, I'll take it.
Yeah. Anyways, Kelly Wigglesworth.
Who, by the way, and I don't want to make it about this, but is there something different about her face?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
It seems like there's been maybe some changes.
Well, yeah, okay.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
comment on the website or tweet us if you know for a fact. I don't want any speculation. All right. I don't want any speculation. We're not here to.
That's all I have is speculation. Yeah. But,
okay. Important.
It's like she's in great shape and I'm very happy to see her again, but I can't imagine she's going to last very long.
Yeah, here's the thing. She either, I agree, either she's out really early or she goes a long ways. I don't think she's a middle
if she,
boot.
If she gets into the right alliance, if she is, yeah. You know,
again, over, like Kelly Wentworth, if she's in the numbers, she can go a long ways.
Right. I mean, what we saw of Kelly Wigglesworth was that, you know, she was very conflicted about being an alliance. So if she has gotten past that, and she certainly had enough time to get past that, and gets into the right alliance, she could last a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, another thought I just had about her is that out of all the people, I would say that she's most likely to quit if we get a quitter.
You think?
This season? I think so. Just based on her interviews, she seemed really in over her head.
Mm. But I don't get the sense she's a quitter.
Certainly not. But if you want to, if we want to really get rumory, there's lots of rumors about season one, her like getting production help.
Oh, food, right. Food I've heard those stuff. Rumors, or yeah, that's yeah. What Hatch says.
Yeah. So it's possible that there, you know, I'm just saying like, out of all the people that we've got here, she's the only one that I get like this person might quit.
Well, I hope nobody quits.
I hope nobody quits. I heard that everyone might want to quit because the temperatures are outrageous, and bugs and stuff. But I hope everyone stays.
Well, she, I just feel like her demeanor is sort of taciturn and down, yeah. And like, it's hard to picture her going very far.
I agree.
But she doesn't, like you said, she's sort of disconnected from everybody.
How sweet would it be if she won, though?
It would be amazing. That would be great for the season.
It would be amazing.
If she made it to the finals, you kind of have to vote for her.
I agree. Yeah, that's a good point. Like, who can beat her in the finals just based on, like, say we take out everything that happened in the game. Who mm-hmm. could beat her in the finals? No one.
Well, that's the problem, is we can't take out everything that happens.
There you go. Okay. Got to play our game.
Who's next?
Next is Kimmy Kappenberg. It looks like they're going in alphabetical order by first name.
Oh, you figured it out.
I figured out the pattern. So, yeah, Kimmy Kappenberg.
Wow. Well, I'm excited to see anybody again from old school, yeah. But I never really... I like Kimmy, but I never felt the need to see her again. I mean, we've now...
Look, if you're going to bring back Jeff, you have to bring back Kimmy, right?
You have to? I mean, but I voted for her to come back. I wanted her to come back. But it is sort of absurd that with her and Jeff, we've now had literally exactly half of the cast of Australia has been brought back.
Well, it was the most watched season, so it makes sense.
And you know that they would bring back Elizabeth if they could. Oh, so. Yeah. And Roger, but I don't. I mean,
she's
got
going
first
anywhere.
Boot written all over.
Oh
her.
Yeah,
what?
And if she doesn't, she has goat written all over her.
Oh, she could be a goat. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she's going to annoy people.
I mean, that would be true to form for her. So we'll see.
Right. Again, I'm basing this on what I saw 14 years ago.
I do get a sense that she's happy and excited to be there, which is good.
It's cool.
But that could also rub people the wrong way if she goes too crazy. But there isn't this going to be like, let's talk about this. Who on this cast do you think is going to be like starstruck? Do you think it's like Spencer or Shireen, of course? Shireen is going to see like Jeff.
Shireen, maybe, but I think she'll be mellower about it.
Yeah,
I think any of them will be starstruck.
Yeah, I mean, there aren't going to be any Rob Sesterninos asking Sue Hawk to perform the snakes and rats speech.
Did he ask her that?
Supposedly, he was like asking her about it every day on the beach.
That's funny.
That's what he says. I don't know.
Wow. Well, so I feel like she's not long for the game.
Yeah. She's a goat, a number, an early boot for sure.
Mm.
Or instead of number, we're going to use sheep, right?
We are going to do sheep now. Yeah.
All right. To be honest, I'm kind of with you. I'm like only sort of excited to see her play again. at least she'll cause conflict, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. Next up is Tasha, who I am very excited to see play again.
Yeah, she again totally deserving of coming back. Voted for her. I'm excited to see her. I don't get the feeling, and it's just some weird visceral feeling that she'll do as well as she did last time.
Yeah, so it depends on how much everyone else sees the Kageyan 4 as a unit or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because out of those four, who do you target first?
Spencer. What or Cass, depending on which tribe you're on.
So let's
they're
say
on different tribes, Spencer.
Yeah,
Cass,
that's right. So we put Cass and Spencer as 1A and 1B, and then it's Tasha, and then Wu is the last to be targeted, or do you think Wu gets?
I don't know.
The thing is, once you get rid of two of them, you don't really need to worry about the
right,
other two, right?
So, worries.
So is that good for Tasha?
That's good for Tasha.
That could mean she goes away a distance then because of that. But
yeah,
again,
she may be like a mid-game person.
Yeah, she is one of those people that is good at challenges. So you either A, need her post-merge to help get out someone like Joe, or you're afraid of her post-merge because she's the best challenge winner left. So,
well, I wish her well. I rooted for her.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I have that feeling. Like, oh, poor Tasha. She's
yeah.
These other people are going to eat her up. I just have that weird feeling. Oh, I don't know why.
Yeah. I don't really know where to place her. I really don't.
How about on a pedestal?
Yeah. Well, I do know where to place our next... The next person on the list.
She's got to be your other winner pick.
Yeah, if Keith doesn't win, she's winning.
Monica
Padilla. And that's Monica Padilla.
Well, yeah, she's the other one in the Kelly Wentworth category.
Yeah, and I wish we could have had Dave Ball on again to talk about Monica because...
Well, I'm sure we could.
Because Dave was... I suspect Dave was a big Monica fan.
Yeah.
I think they were, like, pretty close, right? Didn't he mention in our interview with him that him and Monica and...
And Laura.
And Laura and one other person were like, put us four out there, we could win every time.
Right. Now, I mean, every time except the first time.
Yeah.
Or in Laura's case, the second time. Monica is somebody who I really had zero memory of.
Oh,
from
me.
Samoa.
Yeah, me too.
Zero. And I'm sure it's not her fault. Everybody says the editing on that show was, you know, the Russell show.
Right.
So I've become reminded of who she was on that show by her RHAP interview and, you know, whatever other pre-show stuff I've seen. And she's sort of famous for having stood up to Russell.
Right. That was her one real moment on the show, which she didn't go. She didn't leave without a fight.
Well, because she is the lowest of low on the radar, even lower than Kelly Wentworth, because yeah. It's been so long. You know, at least Kelly Wentworth is sort of recent in your memory.
Right.
Like, I think if another 5 years passed, I wouldn't have remembered Kelly Wentworth.
I would agree with that, yes.
Well,
I might remember her just because I followed the whole Rob has a podcast, Mr. and Mrs. Survivor
okay,
thing.
Okay, but from the show, I would have remembered her. And
right.
Monica, you know, I think has the potential to go really far if she gets in with the right people because nobody's going to target her.
I agree. Totally for the same reasons I like Keith, I like Monica. I just think she's such a good number. A loyal foot soldier. And unlike Keith, I think that she has the strategic head for the game where she's not going to screw up if you trust her. And I think, I mean, unless she goes in going, there is this sort of sense that a lot of people, I don't know who said it first, maybe Steven, that people, when they play again, they play like the winner from their season.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that theory.
But I don't think that anyone from Samoa is going to go in and play like Natalie White.
right? They might go in and play like Russell.
Exactly. So it's possible Mana comes out the gate swinging. I doubt it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Laura Moret didn't come back playing like Russell.
Yeah, did she come back playing like Natalie White? A little bit.
I guess a little. I know. No, she did. I don't know. I think Monica comes in one of the best positions.
Yeah, I like her odds. Season. I like her odds. She could end up outside the numbers, but I think if she's in the numbers, especially post-merge, she's got a real shot of winning.
She may have a connection with Sierra and therefore Vetus because of her mother.
Yeah, yeah. If we're looking at the red yarn connecting everyone,
yeah,
she has some good connections. So we'll see.
Because I like of her Sierra's chances, mother, I meant, not Monica's
right,
mother.
Right, right, right. I like her chances. All right, next up is PG Law, who I loved on China.
It's
one of my
favorite
seasons.
It's a great season, and she was great, and I was so excited. She was on the ballot, and I voted for her every day.
You know, she was the first person that I read about who after they were on the show, talked candidly about being on the show, because I hadn't really discovered Rob as a podcast yet. I ran across her AMA on Reddit, and I read about it, and it was just like, whoa, whole other world opened up.
Yeah,
and it was really after reading her AMA that I was like, I kind of want to be on Survivor.
I didn't have the same. I found it very fascinating, but yeah.
So I don't like during China. I was so on the Todd and Amanda and James train that I didn't really like think of PG as someone that I was rooting for. But I really do like PG. And I am rooting for her this season big time.
I was rooting for her because she was the underdog. I was also rooting for Todd and Amanda. But, you know, I liked her as well.
Yeah.
And she hung in, you know, really hung in there really well in China. Made it a lot farther than she really should have in some ways. And I'm excited to see her back, but I'm worried about her.
Yeah, I like that she's a gamer for sure. She's going to go out there and try and convince people to play a game that benefits her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that she's necessarily successful at that, but...
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about her.
We'll see. My nieces love her. They want her to win, so I'm rooting for her too.
All right. Well, I think she might be a pre-merge.
Yeah, unfortunately, she has no connections. She's the only one from her season.
Yeah,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be a tough road, but I'm rooting for her.
Yeah, that might help her, like a sort of blood versus water type thing where the people whose loved ones go early tend to form up. So she might be able to form up with some of the other singletons like Steven.
Yeah, that's true.
But who knows?
Well, yeah, I'm rooting for her, hoping for the best.
Yeah. And now I realize that my theory about how these are organized is completely wrong because the next person is Wu.
Oh, you lied to us. There's Wu. How did Wu even end up on the ballot?
Yeah, I wasn't that excited to see
him. He seems like a really lovely human being.
Yeah, I mean, he was certainly edited to be like a heroic...
Yes.
You know, ninja stealth mode. And
so I guess a lot of casual viewers really, you know.
Oh, yeah. See,
really
Wu,
like him.
Wu has that Aussie, hits that
vibe,
Aussie demographic, right? The sort of like fun-loving, young, long-haired guy who's like not afraid to get up and climb in a tree and be good at being outdoorsy.
Right.
You know, he's the sort of the quintessential survivor guy that you think of when you think of Survivor, so... I can see that in that sense. But he just made such a bad, $900,000 mistake that I can't really.
Well, he's not the first to make a $900,000 mistake, but yeah, it was pretty bad.
So for that reason,
that
I wasn't.
Mistake have come back.
For that reason, I'm not excited to see Wu play again. He's definitely like low on my list of people that I'm. that I want to see play this game, but I think he'll bring some stuff to the table that could be pretty entertaining. And I think he actually has a chance to go far because, like we talked about with the Kageyan 4, once you get rid of two or three of those, I think Wu's last, and he could end up going far because of that.
Yeah, I think he could do okay. I don't think he'll make it as far, but I never thought he'd make it to the finals last time. You know, he wasn't somebody who was on my radar at all the first half of the season as a potential end game player.
Yeah. You know, I think that the rest of the cast of his season were very surprised at his edit.
Yeah, they all seem to hate him.
Yeah. And, you know, Redmond, we can talk about this, but I definitely want to give like a big warning ahead of time when we do. Redmond recently came out with the story of why they call him Weasel Wu and why people don't like him.
I've heard something about that.
All right. Well, we fast forward 30 seconds if you don't want to know this. It all happened or allegedly happened in the past. It has nothing to do with this season. But supposedly he would steal from production. Sneak mm-hmm. in, steal food. He stole a water bag from one of the cameramen who left it down.
Allegedly.
Yeah, this is all allegedly. He stole people's optional medications.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's the one that really is pretty crazy to me. So this is all alleged. So if
it's
he did
that
stuff,
that they would bring him back.
Yeah, for that. That's why I'm wondering, maybe this isn't true, because why are they bringing him back? He's sounds like a production nightmare. Right.
But, right.
I mean, if they're going to bring him back for when he did all that stuff, they better bring Dave Ball back.
But there was some kind of reason why they were calling him Weasel Wu.
Well, yeah, because he was sneaking around stealing stuff.
Right, so that made sense, but
yeah, but that may not be the reason. In any case, I hope he's more entertaining than the last time, and not just this sort of blank.
I mean, he was fairly entertaining.
Yeah, you like
him. In just stealth mode was entertaining.
So there's no conflict with him, though.
Him with the kids. No, I mean, he's not an interesting player.
Yeah.
I think he'll probably go fairly far.
You know, he could win.
Not all. He could in the Keith way.
Right. He could get taken to the end and no one hates him.
I just don't. Yeah. If nobody hates him.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't very successful at that last time. So.
Yeah. I think he might make it around mid game. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely an asset pre-merge. So we'll see. All right, let's move on to the next person, Vitas Baškauskas.
Oh, my gosh. Baškauskas.
I loved Vitas so much the first time I saw him play.
Yeah, definitely a deserving.
I had not seen Aris's first season.
Wow.
Yet, but now I've seen it. And I think I would have liked Vitas less had I seen Panama. Because
why?
To me, Aris is just very boring that season.
Super boring.
And I loved Vitas's story so much, and Vitas to me was so interesting that I didn't like that Aris was by proxy interesting also. Whereas in retrospect, he wasn't that interesting on Blood versus Water either. It was
right.
It was Vitas who was interesting.
Yeah, Vitas is hugely interesting.
Yeah, and his backstory. Yeah. He's great. He also looks almost exactly like my friend James, so that's good.
Perfect.
That makes me want to root for him.
But how will he do? That's my big question. Will they trust him?
No, I don't think so. I think he's potentially an early boot. Vitas is someone who could benefit, and I don't know for sure if he's got pregame alliances, but I think he's someone who could very highly benefit from one. Because he's someone that you need to lock down his loyalty early so that you can trust him. Otherwise, I feel like no one's going to be able to trust him.
Yeah, I don't trust him. I think we saw, what we saw of him in Blood versus Water was very intelligent.
Yeah.
and but somebody who very clearly and articulately outlined how and why he was being dishonest about in certain situations.
Yeah, that's great for TV.
Or manipulating people in certain situations. And so I wonder if the rest of the cast who saw that will hold that against him.
Yeah, who knows?
Or not hold it against him, but just be wary of him.
I think they're going to be very wary of him, and I could see him going early as a result. So, I hope not. I like him, but...
Yeah. I like him, too. It's hard for me to see him winning.
I agree. I don't think he has a chance to win.
I think he could make it past the merge, but I don't know how far.
Oh, yeah. He's totally like a take... He's a guy who, if he goes late, you take him out at like 4, 5, 6.
Yeah. Okay, moving on.
All right. Terry Dietz.
Oh, boy.
And I just want to say, for the record, Terry Dietz and I have the same swim trunks.
That is pretty cool.
they're Target. So
I actually am looking at the picture now. I think I have the exact same ones. Got it like 5 years ago at Target.
Yeah, exactly.
I have it in dark blue and black. I have both.
I also want to say that for those of you who also listen to Rob Has a Podcast, I do that stupid little tweets jingle, right? I rap about tweets, right?
Oh, yeah. And
I have to say that this season it's going to be very hard to avoid using Terry Dietz as my rhyme with tweets every single time.
Well, you got to use it sometimes.
Well, I used it last season already.
Oh, man.
First opportunity, so.
Well, you can bring it back under the circumstances.
Yeah, and for me now it's impossible to say Terry without following it with Dietz.
And that's the way it should be for the world.
Yeah. So will Terry dominate again physically?
That's really hard to say because it has been 9 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, he really did dominate 9 years ago, but he was already kind of old for Survivor then.
Yeah.
How old is he now?
Yeah, I don't know. He's got to be in his 50s, right?
Right. So
I mean, he looks like he's in great shape for someone in their 50s.
I'm sure he's way, you know, stronger than me, and I'm sure he's very good in challenges, but will he be dominant?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't imagine he's suddenly bad.
Right. But it's hard to imagine like Superman Terry Dietz not just kicking ass.
But you can't go into it assuming he's going to be
So I think he needs to get ahead of that, right? So as soon as he comes out, he has to be like in his first confessional, he's got to be like, last time I won every challenge. This time I can't do that. I'm not there, you know, and he needs to say that to people too, so that he doesn't seem like a threat, but also like he probably isn't there.
Right.
You know,
he's probably decent. He's probably good.
So for like PR sake, he has to tell us, the audience, like, don't expect me to be Superman again. You know, like,
well, like Terry's biggest. Go ahead.
James Clement didn't get ahead of us like that. And then it was like, oh, this is sad, you know, and Colby, too.
Well, what was James going to say? By the way, I'm not a nice guy as I seem. I'm actually a major asshole.
Right.
Who's going to bully America's sweetheart, Stephanie LaGrasse. But yeah, Colby,
remember when James was like, beating. Superman fell to earth. Or what did James say? It's such a great quote.
So mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, he had something about Superman letting him down.
Yeah, so will we get Joe Anglim talking about Terry that way?
Well, Joe's too nice for that.
Yeah, so plus, I don't know if Joe's seen that season.
Probably not.
So maybe Shireen, right?
Right. I mean, Terry, like, his biggest challenge was that he wasn't that great strategically or socially. He made it.
Right.
To the end, on sheer brute strength and a very powerful idol. And he probably would have won if he made it into the final two, and actually deserves a second chance because the final challenge was one that was basically impossible for him to win.
Right.
It was fairly unfair, the challenge. So, it was no surprise that a more
Why didn't they do that to Mike Holloway this season? Then we'd have Rodney would be the winner.
Rodney. Yeah.
How different would the season have been if Rodney won?
Crazier. I don't know, but that guy could win at a carnival or a museum. That's all I know.
Well, he's definitely.
Well, I just know that Terry's challenge, that was his weakness. I don't, not saying it will be again, but I think that's the biggest challenge.
Remind our listeners what that challenge was. What's Terry's weakness?
Oh, just that he wasn't that great socially or strategically.
Oh, I thought you were talking about that final challenge.
No. I mean, that challenge was just something that involved, I don't remember exactly, but it involved like little lily pad type things in the water to stand on, like a more petite person would do really well with. And it just seemed, as soon as you saw the challenge, you were just like, oh, well, Terry can't win this one. That's it was just like obvious. You're just like, oh, well, that's not going to happen. And he didn't. But so he might have won, but it would have been in a Mike Holloway fashion of somebody who would have gotten voted out because he rubbed so many people the wrong way.
Right.
So will he be different this time?
Yeah. Well, speaking of people who can't win, let's talk about the next person. Stephen Fishbach.
You think he can't win?
I think he's a... There's so many factors going on with Stephen.
This photo of him is hilarious, by the way.
He looks fit, though, at least. It looks like
he looks very fit, but he looks like he's terrified.
The hands in pockets are outrageous. Like, they should not have let him do that.
No. He looks very nerdy, and he looks absolutely terrified. Like, he must know, like, oh man, Steven. These people are never going to let me win.
Yeah, well, so many of these people he's, like, talk shit about.
Yeah.
That he's playing the game with. That is against him. One of his side gigs is as a Survivor know-it-all.
Right.
Like.
So people are just going to say, like, we can't let him get far. He's a know-it-all.
He's such an easy person to get out soon.
He better have a good pre-game alliance.
Or he better be able to bring the social game, like, big time.
I mean, he was so good in Token Jeans.
Yeah.
Although his big flaw was nobody who was there knew what we, the viewers, knew.
Well, it's so impressive, though, to see him play a game like that in Token Jeans. Because, for example, on Big Brother, playing a game like that where you have someone who is awesome at challenges as your main alliance member, that's like a really good strategy because that person will win HOH and save you every time, or they'll win veto or whatever. But on Survivor, it doesn't really help you that much if your best ally wins immunity. In fact, it might hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in that sense, it was so impressive that not only was he like good enough to like team up with JT, but also like keep the target off him the whole time.
He was great. I was rooting for him the whole season.
Yeah.
And I voted for him every day to get back on.
Yeah, I'm so excited to see him play again. It's
so excited, but I'm very worried about him.
He's one of my favorite players of all time. The moment when he wins that challenge in Token Jeans where he like does all that crazy math to remember stuff is like one of my like favorite fucking... I'm swearing too much. This is the second time I've said the F word.
Well, it is Saturday night.
Yeah.
I don't remember that scene.
Yeah, so they had to do this challenge where they dug under. It's a classic, like, dig under something and crawl through in the sand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then run down and, you know, you get, like, 2 seconds or whatever to look at some... It was, like, a math equation. And then you have to, like, run back, climb under the thing, and, like, put the equation in. And it was really long. You had to put the symbols, right? Not the numbers. You had to put the symbols in. You had to put the right symbols in so that the end of the equation equaled, the result of the equation equaled some number.
Oh my God, that's insane.
It's incredibly complicated. He can't do the digging part. He's way behind. JT has like gone back and forth guessing the answer like 5 times before Steven even gets past the like digging through the sand part. He goes down to the end. He memorizes it the first time, comes back, fills it in, wins immediately. It was amazing. Coming from behind victory.
You better hope there's a lot of math challenges.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he used like this really cool system, and Jeff asks him how he does it, and he says, I use this system for memorizing the order of operations and stuff, which I was like, man, that's really cool. He like figured out a solution for you know, and as someone, I identify with Steven big time in that sense. And I'm really rooting for him. Obviously, I'd love it if he won.
Oh, I'm rooting for him.
But I just don't think he can.
Yeah, it seems very unlikely.
I'm so happy he got to play again, though.
I'm happy for him. But it might tarnish his legacy.
All right. Well,
if now here's another question. If he's one of the early boots, does he still get to be a survivor know-it-all? Does he still get to call himself a know-it-all right. and hand out fishies?
I mean, I think he would be. I think if he just makes it further than Rob did on Rob's All-Star season, he'll be happy, right?
Well, yeah, that's true.
I think he will make it further than that, but who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, as long as he doesn't ask Keith to repeat the stick to the plan speech over and over again, he'll be fine.
Well, we'll see.
Okay, well, speaking of that sort of character archetype, we've got Spencer Bledsoe up next.
I think he is. I mean, again, I'm happy he's back. He was a great character. I was going to say I voted for him, but I didn't vote for him much because I was so positive he would make it that I was putting my votes on other people.
You were metagaming, huh?
Yeah. And I was right. I mean, he's a lock.
Yeah.
He seems to me to be one of the main targets. I can't see him going far.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about him. I want to see him go far, but I'm worried that he could be an early target. I don't know. His social game is pretty good, though.
Yeah, his social game is good, but I feel like...
He talks about...
There's a lot of older people, and I think the older people are going to be threatened by the younger people, well, and they're just going to go, we got to get rid of this guy.
He talks about this in his Josh Wigler article. He talks about that very issue, and he has a strategy for that, which I actually kind of think is cool. And
which
that's
is
to
why?
Like, become sort of the... To become someone's apprentice, kind of like maybe buddy up to Terry Dietz and be like, mm-hmm. you know, I respect you, and like really sort of like build like a apprenticeship relationship with Terry mm-hmm. Dietz or something that could really work with him being young and Terry being older, for mm-hmm. example. I think that could work for him, but that, I mean, that's only one person, you know. How do you parlay right. that into like getting in the numbers?
Right. That's a smart strategy. I wish him the best.
Yeah.
I think I'm really happy he's back, but he just seems too threatening to survive.
I agree.
Which is ironic, you know, that he's coming into the game as such a major threat as opposed to last time. You know,
I know. But I know, yeah. It's funny because the first time Jeff had no reason to say really that Spencer had 0% chance of winning the game, but this time he would actually have some valid reasons to say that.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine him getting.
It is really hard. There's a lot of people that I'm like, I don't see this person winning, but it's very possible one of them will win.
Of course,
and I hope it's someone I don't see
winning. That's the beauty of this show.
I love it.
Okay, and finally,
last but not least, Shireen.
Shireen, another crazy, a lot of crazy bathing suits this year.
Well, that's this is like Shireen's style from last season. Not the print, but the style.
Oh, well, the style's weird. The print is weird. but look, you're talking to somebody who gets a swimsuit at Target.
This has been the swimsuit edition of Snakes, Rats, and Goats, where we judge people's swimsuits.
Now, again, I'm happy to see her. She's a great character. I was rooting for her last season. I voted for her. Whew, that's a tough call. I mean...
Look, I think I would say
I don't think she's in a good position.
I would say that she actually has a shot at winning if she hadn't said on national TV, I made my first million
yeah.
by the age of whatever.
That turned out to be a mistake.
I think that was a mistake. We'll
That's
see.
Like an unforced error.
I mean,
it came during a speech to the jury, which she didn't have anybody to impress.
I know. Well, you know, the argument against that is, well, Sandra won her, had made her first million before she won
True.
Her second time. So, you know, if you get there the right way, you can still win, even though you're rich.
She still seems to me to be an early target.
I don't know, because I hope that she isn't, because I really like Shireen. I want her to go far, but I actually think that she might not be an early target because she seems so obviously to be one.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like,
no,
she's someone you can take out at any time.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Sure.
And as long as she's not a challenge. Well, she was kind of a challenge hindrance, wasn't she?
She was kind of a challenge hindrance.
Yeah.
And she annoyed people.
Well, yeah. I don't think that is going to be as much of an issue. When you know someone is annoying, you can sort of like, you can like, when you're not, you know, I think it's easier to sort of compartmentalize that and be like, okay, that's just her.
Do right.
You know what I mean? Instead of like, you've seen them on national TV being annoying. Now you just get to be like, okay, that's just Shireen being Shireen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you're meeting them for the first time and you're living with them and you haven't seen them on national TV, when they're annoying, it's like, oh, why are you so annoying?
Right.
So I actually think that is not going to be as much of an issue. Not in the same way that it could be for Abby Maria, for example. Because although Shireen is annoying, she's not antagonistically annoying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, her heart's in the right place.
Well, so you think she'll go far?
I think that Shireen is on my list of potential winners. But she's also very, very easy to cut at 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, I just don't think they're going to let anybody from Worlds Apart go far.
Yeah, well, there's only two of them, right?
Right.
They are best buds in real life. At least they seem like it. So that is a problematic. You know, if Joe goes before her, I like her chances a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's very possible that Joe won't go before her because he's so useful pre-merge. So
right.
We'll see. We'll see, though. She's someone, if she gets in the numbers, can easily make it to the end.
You know what's so crazy is that after the first episode, not only will we know who is the first to go, but I just feel like all of these assumptions are going to be scrambled.
We're
going
to
start seeing people in a new light. We're going to start seeing who's aligned with each other, at least early on, and it's going to really give a lot more focus to the season, and I cannot wait.
4 days.
Oh, man. Well, for people listening to this,
it's 3. Probably. I'm going to get this up right away.
Because this has got to get to the people immediately. this is too good to hold back.
Yes. We got to get it out. Okay, great. Well, thanks, Scott, for chatting Survivor with me. Always
Thank
a pleasure.
You, Ryan. Always a pleasure. Thank you for chatting with me.
And hopefully we'll get to talk about the show as much as we can this season.
Yeah. We'll be back. We just when you least expect it.
There you go. Just like Big Brother.
Exactly like Big Brother.
Expect the expected unexpected.
You just blew my mind.
That's how you do it.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yep.
Ryan, anything you need to plug?
We're doing plugs.
I don't know.
No, there isn't. But I'm happy and excited to hear JD's sweet voice at the end of this. So.
Me too. And if you want to reach us, please tweet us.
Yes, at Ryan Elder Music and...
Oh, I thought you were going to give your second Twitter name. And at Scott Chernoff.
All right. Good night, Scott.
All right. The tribe. Good night.
Bye.
The spoken. Good night.
tribe has spoken. Now I'm going to put out your little lamp with my lamp stopper.